thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm sitting across the table from my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, my partner in crime, so to speak, as he and I work together at First Baptist Texarkana. We want to talk to you today as we think about the new year. We want to talk to you today about making good, right, and godly decisions in 2025. Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6, they were Charles Stanley's favorite verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And then it goes on to say, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So, Chris, let's talk about that. Making godly decisions in the new year. Obviously, we don't want to wait for the new year. You don't want to say, well, I'm going to make all my dumb decisions now, I guess, but in 2025, I'll start making godly decisions. But as we look forward to the new year, we think about the importance of decisions and making good, wise, godly decisions.
Yeah, you make a good point. We have to plan ahead. We have to think ahead because we can't rely on our own, we have a sin nature, and so we can't rely on ourselves to, in the moment, make the right decision. So we have to have expectations that we're going to have difficult decisions, we're going to have temptations come our way, and so we're going to need to be prepared. Even as we look into a new year, it gives us an opportunity to be prepared to make wise decisions.
You know, and some decisions are those that we just don't know. It's not like a choice between sin or not sin. I mean, those are very clear, black and white. But, you know, whether I have this treatment or not, you know, maybe, you know, we hear about people that get diagnosed with cancer. Do I go through the traditional chemo and radiation and all that, or do I say no to that? That's not, well, one is godly and one is ungodly, but you have to really seek the Lord. What do I do here, Lord? Because, you know, the Bible doesn't have a verse that says take chemo. And so we have to discern as we study the scripture and as we pray, what does God want me to do with situation X?
Yeah, that's good. And I mean, the key is to seek the Lord, to stay in His word, to stay close to Him. I mean, really what He wants is He wants us to be close to Him. So it's not really whether we choose X or we choose Y, but that we stay close to Him.
Right.
And I know, like with doing counseling, people who are going through really difficult things, real horrific situations that they have, tragic situations that they have to go through, those who are close to God, who have stayed in His word before that situation happened, are more prepared to face it.
Right. Well, when we talk about the will of God, you know, I mean, that's the bottom line in any decision making. What does God want for you? What if you could sit down with Jesus and say, I don't know what to do. Door number one, door number two, option A, option B. So, like we said, if one is sin and one is righteousness, obviously sinfulness versus righteousness, He would say, do what's right. But if it's not like that, you know, I mean, you deal a lot in relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And as every married person knows, when you are getting ready to say, I do, mm-hmm. you're really processing through, is this the person I want to spend the rest of my life with? And it's not a... that sometimes is not a very just cut and dry yes or no. It's there's some, well, I like this, I don't like that. And so how do you counsel people with
that? There was
a
person that I knew in college that she had a list. She had written out a list of the traits that she was looking for in a husband. Uh-huh. And she didn't do a lot of dating until she did find the right one, but she had really... She got made fun of by other students because she had it so calculated as far as what she was looking for. Mm-hmm. But that's a good thing because that means that she was planning ahead. She had it in her mind These are the characteristics that I'm looking for. And so now I'm prepared when I do see it, what it looks like, what he looks like.
Well, and I think that is important because you want to have, I talk to people all the time that I say, hey, when you find a spouse, you don't want to find somebody that just checks a box, yeah, I'm a Christian. You want to find somebody who really is pursuing the Lord, who loves the Lord, wants to grow in his or her relationship with the Lord. Because if that person is just marginal, that's not the kind of person, if you're a person that wants to pursue the Lord, that's not the kind of person you want to hitch your wagon to.
Yeah, so that's a major decision of who you're going to marry, who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. The friends that you put in your life, that's a major decision. Obviously, the most important decision is your relationship with Jesus Christ, to have mm-hmm. a personal relationship with him, the church you attend, the ministry where you serve, the kind of ministry that you do, mm-hmm. the kind of occupation that you go through. Those are the major decisions mm-hmm. That's why I think that young adult age, that college and young adult age is so crucial, even high school, you know, that you start to figure out what you want your life to be about, at least thinking about that. You don't have mm-hmm. to have it all figured out, but you do need to start thinking about, we call it like play the script, have a plan, have a vision of what you want things to look like.
Right. And that takes a lot of prayer because mm-hmm. if you want to do what God wants you to do, you have to ask him, mm-hmm. Lord, what do you want for my life? And then you have to, and Chris, you're good about this. You have to assess yourself to say, well, what am I good at and what am I not good at?
Right.
You don't want to pursue a career. Hey, I hate chemistry. Might as well get a chemistry degree. I mean, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
So you don't want to pursue something that, you know, I have no interest or aptitude in this. Now, I was at the table recently with one of the guys at our Strong Foundations group that comes every Thursday morning, and he had the trouble and the problem. I guess we'd all like to have it. He was good at so many things.
Oh, yeah.
That it was hard.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. It's hard for him to pinpoint. He's a 4.0 guy. He can do engineering. He can do medical things. He could do legal things. Mm-hmm. And he really struggled with what am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Most of us don't have that where we're good at a plethora of things.
I have 100 things. Which one should I choose? I think that self-awareness is crucial. So even for parenting with your children, a lot of times our culture, it's all about building self-esteem, you know, building esteem in your kids. And so your kids just feel so highly about themselves. And there's a lot of people that feel real highly of themselves but aren't very successful. So self-awareness, what are you good at? What are you bad at? And kids need to hear that truth from their parents and need to be guided in that direction as far as you know, what they're good at. And you can see it in their lives of what they're good at. And that's a good indication of probably what they should be doing.
You know, when I was in seminary, I think back about this a lot. So Wayne McDill was my preaching professor. And I just love Wayne. He taught me so much. But he was talking to the class one day and he said, okay, in the scripture, the Lord has a 5-talent guy, he has a 2-talent guy, he has a 1-talent guy. He said, not all you guys are 5-talent preachers. Mm-hmm. You're just not. Probably very few of the guys are 5-talent preachers. He said, so what do you do if you're a 2-talent guy or a 1-talent guy? He said, it's basically you got to face the facts that this is how God's gifted me. And so I want to use that to the full. But I don't want to get bitter that look at somebody else, that why are they better than I am or have more opportunities than I do. Take what you have and use it for God's glory.
That's interesting that you say that. I think that's a great point because you started this show by talking about Charles Stanley. Uh-huh. And I didn't know that was his life verse. But when I think of Charles Stanley, I think about principles. He was all about principles. And so that scripture really matches him in the way that he preached, the way that he taught, you know, whether he's your cup of tea or your flavor of preaching. Mm-hmm. But he knew who he was, and he preached, he taught the word in that specific way, in a mm-hmm. very structured, you know, principle kind of way.
Right. That's a good point.
So he knew who he was, and he leaned into that strength.
Right. So we teach as pastors, we're required to teach the whole counsel of God. So you can't just ride your hobby horse all the time. And so if it's prophecy, we're going to have another second coming message. Obviously, we don't have enough of those, I think, in Christianity in general. We need to be focusing on the second coming. But you are going to have certain things that you flow in better mm-hmm. than other topics. I think you and I have talked about this before. Going through the book of Romans is, I've preached a lot of sermons on Romans. I've never gone through the whole book of Romans. And one of the things for me is it is so dense that to do a verse-by-verse study of Romans, to do it justice, you're going to be in there a long time.
Yeah, we did it in our Sunday school class, but doing it in a Sunday morning sermon style would be, you know, is definitely a different story. But I think it's because the body of Christ is broad with all the different gifts, you know, all the different parts of the body that God uses. And so so we're different. And so God calls us to be the part that he calls us to be and use the gifts that he's given us.
Yeah. And the wonderful thing about the parable of the talents, five talents, two talents, one talent, the two-talent guy used what the Lord gave him and made two more. The five-talent guy, he made five more, so he's got 10.
Yeah.
The two-talent guy, at the end of the day, after he does everything that he does, he's only got four. But he gets the same commendation that the five-talent guy got.
Right, you know,
well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So if you're a two-talent guy, don't get bitter that you only have two talents. Use those two talents to the Lord's glory. If you're a one-talent guy and God's called you to be a pastor, well, do all that you can with your one talent.
And put people around you that can do the other things. You know, I have a lot of respect for people who know who they are and they lean into that strength. And it might not be my flavor, cup of tea, but they are being who God has called them to be. And I have a lot of respect for that.
Right. Well, you and I love sports. We love basketball. And, you know, if you're a good outside shooter, you know, you think about the Bulls and they had Paxson and they had Steve Kerr. Well, those guys knew their role.
Right.
My role is to hang out by the three-point line.
Yeah.
And when Jordan drives, he can kick it to me, and then I can make that shot.
Yeah.
If they said, well, I want to start working on my low post game.
Yeah.
Well, that's not...
Yeah, you want Shaquille O'Neal dunking the ball. You don't want him shooting three-pointers.
Right.
He's got to know who he is and do, you know, how he's created, how what he's supposed to do.
So when we talk about making godly decisions, I think one of the big things is to kind of know yourself, know your strengths, know your weaknesses. You know, you shore up your weaknesses as best you can with hiring people around you or building people in your lives that in your life that can help you with those things. But you really need to focus in on, okay, how do I hone the skills that God has given me?
And you're big on like not getting over your skis, like not you know, swinging for the fences, like just solid getting hits, you know, getting singles instead of home runs, another sports analogy.
Yeah.
But don't just do crazy things that are going to cost you trust of the people.
Right.
So making decisions that are wise and prudent and even conservative, but a bunch of singles can be just as good as swinging for the fences.
Well, we talked about that just the other day. A deacon, after a deacon's meeting, a deacon was talking about a particular church where the pastor had made a bad decision, and now it's really put the church in a bind.
Yeah.
It's put him in a bind because he's lost the trust of the people. And I said, yeah, one of the things that my pastor taught me, Damon Shook, was just don't make stupid moves. And nobody bats a thousand.
Right.
But don't make a big, stupid move. You can make little moves that are like, well, that wasn't the wisest thing. Everybody has the situation where you maybe made a bad hire, but you can't have a lot of those. And you got to really pray through and seek God's face. Lord, what do you want me to do? And if we don't ask the Lord that, Lord, what do you want me to do here? I am open. I want to do your will, not my will. When we start praying that way, well, God's going to be faithful to show us. He's not trying to trick us. Now, God's not playing the shell game with his will.
He wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal his will for your life. And again, he really wants you. So he wants you to lean into him and talk to him and ask him. I know many times in my life, I've turned to other people and other places, and I should be praying about this. I should be turning to God. That's the first place that we should turn.
Right. And I think that, you know, it's like God takes you to the Baskin and Robbins. He's not telling you you can only order vanilla.
Right.
I mean, I think he does give us freedom in his will that says, hey, you know, here you go. What do you want?
Yeah, people get paralyzed with that. I used to be that as a young Christian. I was so concerned about God's will that I would get trapped, get paralyzed with, oh, this could be outside of God's will.
Yeah.
But he just wants us. And so I don't think he's strict with, you know, like you said, chocolate versus vanilla.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think he's like, hey, enjoy yourself with this. And, you know, we take our kids to the ice cream shop. We don't tell them what they need to order.
Yeah.
Here's a little taste. Taste this one,
that
taste that one.
Beautiful gift of free will.
Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful.
Choices.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Across the table from my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about making godly decisions in the new year that is right before us, and we want to do that because life really comes down to making good and godly decisions. People who get their trailer in a ditch, so to speak, it's because they made bad decisions, and God doesn't want that for us, and we don't want it either. So we'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about making good and godly and wise decisions in the new year. And Chris, we've been using for our theme, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, not in some of your ways, but in all your ways. And what does he do? He will make your paths straight. I heard Adrian Rogers preach on this one time, and he was talking about your own understanding, and he said, you know, it's not wrong to have understanding, and we need to try and understand. You just don't lean on it,
right?
You lean on the Lord. And so most of the time when God is going to reveal his will to us, as you said recently about you got to take that step of faith, you got to get out of the boat. If you're going to walk on water, you can't do it in the boat. And taking that step out of the boat is not leaning on your own understanding, because your own understanding says stay put.
Right.
So it's that trust in the Lord that he's calling me to do this. He's calling me to this ministry. Maybe he's calling me to change my career. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of guys do that. You know, they'll study for a certain thing in school and they'll work on it for a while. And they're just like, I don't really like doing this.
I was talking to a guy last night. He's one of our deacons, and he's in financial business, and he's very, very successful. Just built a new large house, and he was in agriculture field. I didn't even know that. He was in the agriculture field for a long time. I would never even have guessed that. And at some point, he felt God leading him to a different, he was feeling very bored and unfulfilled in what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And God led him in a totally different direction. He went back, got his MBA, and God's really blessed that step of faith. Uh-huh. And it was just cool, like talking to him and hearing that story. I just love those stories when people have the courage.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are stuck and they just complain and gripe about where they're at.
Yeah.
But they're not making any changes. They're not taking a step.
Right.
So you can make the choice. You're either going to complain and just stay in the boat, or you're going to take a step.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it is scary to do that.
Yes.
To start a new career when you got a wife and kids, and
now his wife happens to be a doctor, so that was a lot easier for him to do
that. It does help. But you know, you think about that, and guys in his early 30s, restless, what am I doing with my life? I don't like this job. It's like, well, you can change it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, as Henry Blackaby used to say, you can get a holy restlessness where mm-hmm. the Lord is the one working, saying, I have something else for you to do.
Yeah.
Chris, I had a friend of mine that I went to high school with that was one of these guys that was good at a lot of things, very, very smart. And so he trains to be a dentist. He goes through dental school, and he first year as a dentist, he decides after 12 months, I don't like this.
Wow.
I don't like being a dentist.
Man.
I mean, you're down the road with a lot of schooling, a lot of expense, and I didn't want to be a dentist anymore. Mm. So he ends up going to law school, and now he's a lawyer mm-hmm. who defends dentists against malpractice
cases.
That's
cool.
And he's done great.
Wow, that's neat.
So yeah. he's kind of, you know, leveraged both of those things. He likes being a lawyer, but he knows that dental world because mm-hmm. he was one. And anyway, most of us don't have that luxury of those kinds of.
Yeah, I think, though, that the point is that you got to start moving in a specific direction. God can move you a lot easier when you're already moving in a direction.
Right.
If you just plant your feet and don't move and just dig in, it's harder for God to move you.
Yeah, it seems like some people are just waiting. Well, I'll wait for God to show me. Well, Adrian used to say it's hard to steer a parked car.
Yes.
You know, you got to get out there, and as you're in the flow of traffic, then God can say, well, hey, we want to go over here. So, Chris, you recently talked to our young guys about making godly decisions, and you had five main points. The first one was pray for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord gives wisdom, Proverbs 2:6. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And, you know, we can't overlook just the basics of God. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. And God, how do you see it? Like, you know, like we just talked about.
His perspective.
Yeah, his perspective, his divine perspective, and our limited wisdom, our limited perspective. And God, what do you want me to do? And so I don't want to just follow my feelings. I don't want to just follow my emotions. I don't want to just follow the crowd or what other people say. But God, what do you want? And I always pray, God, give me green lights and red lights. So green light means keep going. Red light means stop, that you're going in the wrong, mm-hmm. going in the wrong way. Or open doors and shut doors. You know, I feel like this is right, so shut a door if this isn't right, or mm-hmm. open a new door. And just ask him for that guidance and pray his word. You know, you'll be reading his word and you'll be in an attitude of prayer and you'll read his word and it'll just jump off the,
right.
the pages to you. It'll speak to you.
Well, you know, I think about when you ask God and he puts up, you know, if this is wrong, then show me. You know, as Paul was trying to figure out where was the next step of their missionary journey, and he had the Macedonian vision. He wanted to go in Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't permit him.
Paul's a great example.
Yeah, and then the Lord said, come over, you know, hey, that man from Macedonia, come over here and help us. And he said, well, we determined that was from the Lord. I don't think that's just for Paul, and he doesn't do that for anybody else. I think the Lord does guide us by his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're not going to find a chapter and verse for every single specific in mm-hmm. life. The mm-hmm. Bible's a book of principles, not a book of individual, in this situation you do that, in that situation you do that. You know, if it were, it would be a 100 million page volume.
Yeah, but those principles are so good because those are markers for us. Those are guides for our life. And so those principles will lead us if we put those into our mind and into our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's a good thing to pray. So that's in Acts chapter 16. And when you don't know what to do, I think you can say this to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to move forward in this direction unless you tell me no.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to do what you don't want me to do. I want to do what you want me to do. It seems like this is a good way to go, but I might not be seeing it correctly.
Have you ever had a situation, I know I have, where you're so certain that it's the right thing to do, and you're starting to get excited, and you're, wow, I can't believe this is happening, and you start moving, and then you're just stopped in your tracks, and you know God's saying, that's not
yes.
right. And you're like, wow. You know, I got yeah. this far. I'm so glad he stopped me now.
Yes, and it can be. I've had that happen with potential hires,
mm-hmm.
where I was thinking this thing looks great, and this is, you know, I talked about this just the other day. Sometimes a pastor will make a hire,
mm-hmm.
and it can be a Hail Mary. Maybe things aren't going
mm-hmm.
very well at the church, and this is going to be a quick hitter,
game changer.
Yeah, boom, I get this guy in and and it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And at the ninth hour, the Lord says, hey, big red flag, don't do this.
Yeah.
You can't blow past red flags,
mm-hmm.
especially when we think about like marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting ready to marry somebody and you know, you have your pros and cons list, but you're just like, well, I'm too far down the road to even consider not doing it. You're never too far down the road. You haven't said I do yet.
Yeah, we tell couples in pre-marriage, you know, what is good is not guaranteed to get better. And what is bad is not guaranteed to become good.
Uh-huh.
So there's myths. You know, that's one of the myths that, oh, well, once we get married,
right.
it will be better. Nope. If you already see that red flag, if you're already struggling with his or her parents, it's not going to get better. If you already see bad spending patterns, habits with their finances, those are signs. Those are signals
right.
That you've got to take. You know, that's that check engine light that's
right.
just come on. And so very easy to talk about, but a lot harder to do.
Well, so we pray about God guide me and show me, and I'm going to keep, and it's okay to keep moving forward in a direction unless the Lord changes that, because
mm-hmm.
as you're out there, you know, you're the car that's not parked. You're out in the traffic, and he can guide you. But then we get the facts.
Yeah, you've got to gather all the information. Sometimes we try to make decisions and we don't have all the information yet. Or sometimes we get locked on two things and there's a third option that's actually better. And so Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." Mm-hmm. So sometimes we jump to conclusions or we jump to the answer, you know, before we really have gathered all the facts. You know, mm-hmm. the saying says, when in doubt, check it out. You know, do all your research mm-hmm. first before you make especially major decisions.
Right. I remember Adrian Rogers, that used to be one of his things, that he didn't like him to make any decisions until he knew all the facts. Mm-hmm. So he says, you know, the more facts you can gather, the better decision you can make.
Knowledge is power.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's important to do that. And you know, I was convicted, as you taught on that, Proverbs 18:13. He who gives an answer before he hears it is folly and shame to him. Yeah, you don't want to just jump to, oh, this is right or this is wrong. You know, we hear innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. You know, in today's world, if we hear one thing about
They're
a guy,
guilty. Yeah,
oh, he's guilty, he's a terrible guy. I always knew he was a dirtbag. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that may not even be true. You know, I was thinking about that kid Nick Sandman. Mm-hmm. You remember Nick Sandman that had the run in with the Indian on in Washington D.C. He's a high school student, Covington mm-hmm. High School, mm-hmm. and everybody was so quick to judge the guy. He ended up suing some news organizations that smeared him.
As they've smeared his
He
reputation.
Didn't do anything. Mm. This guy came up in his face and he didn't know what to do. And so he just stood there mm-hmm. and everybody's like, oh, he's a racist and blah, blah, blah. Well, they had to pay for that. And so it's like, be careful that you don't rush to judgment.
That's like a jury. That reminds me of a jury. You got to get all the information first and
right.
get through all the smoke and mirrors before you get to the real truth.
Right.
You have to have all the facts.
So get the facts. And then I like this one. Ask for advice.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to have good counsel around you. Proverbs 24 verse 6 says, "For by wise guidance you will wage war, and an abundance of counselors there is victory." It's plural, so there might be more than one person, but you get counsel from people who are smarter than you, wiser than you, more mature than you. They're doing maybe what you want to do, mm-hmm. and you ask those people for their advice. You have to choose those people and put those people around you and then ask them for advice.
Well, you know, I like to, with that, is we talked about being sober-minded in how you see yourself. So mm-hmm. you see yourself correctly, what you're good at, what you're not good mm-hmm. at. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about Simon Cowell mm-hmm. when he was on American Idol.
Just and
he would tell these people, "Who told you could sing?"
Yeah.
You know, whoever told you that did you a disservice.
Yeah.
You know, in not wanting to hurt your feelings, they led you down a path that you're not good at that.
Yeah.
And so we need to have people that love us enough to tell us the truth.
I think that's crucial. We have two, you know, our two younger daughters, one's good at singing and one's not. I mean, you know, they're young, so it might develop, but like, that's just the truth.
Right.
We're not harsh about it, but we just steer in that direction. We try to steer towards their talents.
Right.
You know, and I'll be honest, I didn't have a lot of that when I was a kid. Like people saying, "That's not really your thing. This mm-hmm. is your thing."
Right.
I think that's so valuable.
Right. Well, it really is. And you know, when we find out, hey, how are our kids wired? You
yeah.
know, what excites them? What's the natural habitat for them? Mm-hmm. You know, I think about an illustration with a fish. You know, if when a fish is in the water, he's in his natural habitat. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to think, how do I swim? How do I do this? That just comes naturally to him. Mm-hmm. You put him in some other arena, stick him up in a tree. Hey, act like a bird.
Yeah.
Well, he can't do that.
Yeah.
He's going to be terrible at that.
Yeah.
And so, in life, the Lord has made us, he's gifted us, he's given us certain strengths and certain weaknesses, he gives us spiritual gifts to do certain things, and you know, I think one of the problems that we've had in the church in the past was we expected everybody to be cookie cutter. Oh, you're a pastor, you need to do this and this and this and this, and you do it all well, and we expect you to be great at funerals, at weddings, at bedside manner,
all the above,
at
yeah.
preaching, at... Well, the guys, you know, you got some guys that are really good preachers and some guys that are really good pastors. Typically, both those strengths don't reside in the same person.
I had a pastor that said, he just said, "I'm not a good preacher." Like, "I'm not a good preacher. If you hire me, I'm not a good preacher. I'm a good leader, but I'm not a good preacher."
It's like, I think preaching would probably need to be one of your strengths if you're going to speak every Sunday and Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to have that, because I think the job of a lead pastor is leading and feeding. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, if you're not able to teach, that's not going to work. But as you know, and if you're at a larger church, you have the luxury of having guys that are, this is your lane.
Oh, yeah, that's an advantage of a larger church compared to a smaller church. Smaller church more required the pastor to be more multifaceted.
Right.
But yeah, so gathering people around you that have knowledge about your decision, that have wisdom about your decision. And I mentioned that one of your favorites, John MacArthur, was asked about leadership. Uh-huh. And they asked him, you know, what is the number one trait of a good leader? And he said, I was just really interesting answer. He said, curious. Uh-huh. Good leaders are curious. Uh-huh. They ask questions. They're inquisitive. Uh-huh. And they're learners. And so that's what makes them a good leader. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Yeah, I heard Rick Warren say that one time. I never forgot it. He said, leaders are learners. Mm-hmm. And if you ever get to the place where you're not learning, you give up your leadership, because mm-hmm. you have to be constantly pushing yourself.
Because if you're not learning, you're not growing.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you run out of things to say.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you wonder, I've heard John MacArthur say this before. He said, you know, what other profession, you see guys that are professional comedians or whatever, he said, they're not coming up with new material every week.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, or two or three times a week, you know, and that's why we preach the Bible, because if it was dependent upon us, we run out of things I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
So we have to keep digging into the Word. Homer Lindsay, who is pastor at First Baptist Jacksonville, he used to tell his church, he said, listen, I need money for books and I need time to study. Your pastor's dumb.
Right.
And he has to spend the time, otherwise he's got nothing to share with you.
That's kind of like how you've said that with preaching, it'd be easier if you just go verse by verse, you know, like just dissect,
homily. Yeah.
You know, just verse by verse, and just, because the Word just speaks.
Right.
But when you're coming up with principles and application and illustrations that apply to it, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, it's harder and it takes time. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about making godly decisions in 2025. Obviously, we want to make godly decisions every day, but as we look toward the new year, we want to have that new year be one where we make good, right, and godly decisions. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with Dr. Chris Schroeder, talking about making godly decisions in the new year. How can you be a person who is wise and who makes godly decisions? Obviously, the Bible gives us lots of information about decision making and being wise. And one of the key things, Chris, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of knowledge. Until and unless we recognize that God is God and we're not God, And we are accountable to God, and we need to every day bow our lives to Him, and even as believers, anew and afresh, and say, Lord, You're Lord. I trust You. I want to follow You. It's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, fear of God is the beginning, and so that gets us away from self-reliance, you know, mm-hmm. relying on ourselves, but having that fear of God, another good way to put it, I've read a couple books that have this title, like the awe of God, mm-hmm. having an awe of God, and so putting Him in His proper place and us in our proper place, you know, so we pray that that we will decrease and that He will increase.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we were talking about, you know, we pray for guidance, we get the facts, we do our research, just like, you know, with hires, mm-hmm. Before you hire somebody, you need to do your due diligence and talk to their references.
I think that's the key, is the references, because you can make a resume, you know, and we've seen a lot of different resumes. You can spice up a resume, make it look really good, but the references are huge.
Right. And, you know, you can't bypass that. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't do your due diligence, and things blow up in your face, you say, well, I'm sorry, it's kind of on you. I had one guy tell me, he said, you know, I hired this guy that you had let go, and he said, I should have called you.
Yeah.
And it's like,
hindsight.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, how do you say, no, you shouldn't have? It's like, yeah, you know, I would have if I were you. Mm-hmm. Would have called me to say, you know, give me the skinny here. So anyway, we have to do our due diligence and then ask for advice. We need to have trusted counselors. So in a multitude of counselors, there is victory. Every king would have his counselors. And David had his counselors. I think of Ahithophel, who ended up turning on David. But he was a trusted counselor because mm-hmm. he gave wise counsel and mm-hmm. wise guidance and advice. And so, you know, pastors, we need that. But, you know, just in life, you need to have good, godly, wise friends. And typically those will be older than you are mm-hmm. that can kind of look at a situation in a way that you haven't seen.
Yeah, they give you a whole different perspective.
Mm-hmm. We all get blind spots.
Right, right.
And so we need to have somebody that we run things by before we pull the trigger, so to speak.
Yeah, not just trial and error. So we try things and then we err and then we learn. But if that's the only way you learn, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. So let other people tell you what they've tried and where they've failed so that you don't make the same mistake.
Right.
And so humble mentors in your life that can just speak into it and be honest about their own experiences. That will help you with your experiences.
Right. Well, this is kind of an interesting little point. So when I left, the first job I ever had was inside sales for a company called Landale Manufacturing. We made pipe couplings. And then I left there after 2 years and the oil business wasn't good. So the company wasn't doing all that great. But I left there, I got a job at Waste Management and I was doing outside sales. Well, I remember my wife, she wasn't my wife yet, but we were getting close to getting married when I got that job. My parents, they're like, that's not Jeff's personality.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to be good at sales.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to crush my, you know, my enthusiasm for this job, but they were just kind of shaking their heads. Well, he'll find out the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
But they were wrong mm-hmm. because I was able to crank it up a notch, even though I'm not a natural extrovert, mm-hmm. I was able to do well in sales mm-hmm. because, you know, I was sincere and I worked hard and, you know, not everybody needs to be, you know, have the gift of gab to be good at sales.
Yeah. So you were able to gear yourself up and do what was required.
Right. And to play into my strengths that ended up, you know, it's just like a pastor. Not every pastor has to have a choleric personality,
right.
You know, take charge. I'm General Patton. You know, the Apostle Paul was very take charge. He was very choleric in his personality. But God uses Paul, and then he uses Timothy. Timothy mm-hmm. wasn't like that.
Right, yeah. So again, different parts of the body, different parts of...
Right.
And so lean into who you are. Know who you are. Lean into that and let God guide you in that way.
Right. And so it's a good word, too, because I don't have to have these cookie cutter character traits to be good at what God's called me to do.
Yeah.
But I can't work a job that I just, you know, being a pastor
mm-hmm.
And the lead pastor and preaching every week.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like doing that,
mm-hmm.
That's not going to be a good fit.
Right. Right. Yeah. So the joy, the passion that God's given you, let that guide you.
Right. And so, you know, some guys, we've talked about this before, and some guys in the ministry, especially at smaller churches where you're required to wear all these hats, the hat that tends to get a lot of accolades is the pastoral hat. When you go to the hospital holding people's hands and praying for them and being there for their surgeries and all that, that they just heap the praise on you for doing that because you're really ministering to them. But guys can gravitate toward that. That can be easier for them rather than being in your office for 4 hours and studying and coming up with an outline and all. That can be
challenging your mind.
That can be hard work.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily get a lot of, man, attaboy, you know, you spent 4 hours in the study. And so guys can gravitate toward the other, and then they shortchange the preaching. Preaching is what hits the most people week after week after week. The hospital visits are important, but that's hitting a family or two or three people, whereas preaching is hitting the whole congregation.
Yeah, so you're leading from the pulpit.
Right.
Yeah. I like what, you know, I always think about what David says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, mm-hmm. he will give you the desires of your heart.
Right.
So if you delight yourself in the Lord, you lean into the Lord, then your desires will match up with his desires.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start getting excited about something like, oh, I get to preach, or I get to you know, witness to someone, that joy is coming from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're making a decision, you start getting excited. You've leaned into the Lord. You've asked for his guidance and you've leaned into him and you start thinking this is the right way to go. There's a good chance that's from the Lord.
Amen.
He's a good father. He wants his children to be joyous.
Right. And he made us for a specific reason and purpose and goal. And so, you know, God didn't make a bird to swim in the sea. He made a bird to soar in the air. So however God has wired you and made you, that's what he wants you to be doing and working. And there's a plethora of things you can do maybe in that field. And a bird, you know, there's more than one bird.
Right.
And there are some birds that soar real high and there's some birds that don't soar as high. But you do to the glory of God what he created you to do.
Yeah.
And so so we pray for guidance, get the facts, ask for advice. And then I like this one that you put, Chris, set your goals.
Yeah, you've got to have goals that drive you. So, of course, ending a year, 2024, and going into 2025, I'm a big resolution person, making goals, making resolutions. Some people get discouraged. They don't want to do that because they've failed enough.
Right.
And so, you know, before February even hits, they've already failed the goal. But I think it's better to have something that you're shooting towards or shooting at. Better than goals or resolutions, I think, is habits, starting new habits and maybe ending old habits that aren't good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But having some goals that guide your life, that are going to direct you, that are going to lead you. So then when you're making a decision, you're saying, I don't want to do that because that's not part of my goal. That won't lead me towards mm-hmm. where I'm wanting to go.
Right.
So then you can base your decisions on those goals that have already been set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was at Nalco, we used to ask people, when we sit down with a potential customer, we'd say, okay, where are you now?
Uh-huh.
Where do you want to be?
Yeah.
How are you going to get there? How are you going to monitor progress? Those four questions are great questions for a salesman trying to sell water treatment chemicals. It's a great question for you as an individual as you look at the new year. Okay, let's soberly look at where I am now.
Yeah.
So let's talk about maybe physically.
Yeah.
So you look in the mirror and you say, okay, where am I now? I'm 25 pounds overweight.
Yeah, why'd you have to go there? Why'd you have to go to
So, I mean, just, but it works spiritually. It works in a lot of different ways. You know, where's my marriage? Mm-hmm. Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, it's a 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and your wife both agree it's a 5. We've gotten stale. We've gotten in a rut. So where are we now? That's where we are. Where do we want to be? Well, nobody wants to have a 5.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, Romans 12:3 says to have an honest evaluation of yourself, not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to speak truth to yourself.
Right.
Like you can't sugarcoat it. If you're bombing it, you're bombing it. You're,
right.
You know, you're carrying extra weight. You're not doing your best job as a husband or a wife. You know, you're not doing the best in your job. So you've got to be really honest with yourself. But a lot of people, I like those, I think you said 4 things from, mm-hmm. from your sales company. That
right.
That's really good. But a lot of people, they don't like where they are. They're discontent where they are.
but they don't have any goals. They haven't set any goals, so they don't know where they're headed.
Yeah.
So they just change one problem, they quit, and then they go to the next problem.
Right.
And so they're not heading in a direction. So they're just running from things instead of running to things.
Right. Yeah, I think it's important to know where do you want to be? I mean, what has God put in your heart? What is the target? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about discipline. 1 Timothy chapter 4, bodily discipline is of little profit. It's not of no profit. It's a little profit. You're fighting a losing battle. Gravity is going to win. Mm-hmm. But godliness is profitable in all things. And so when we discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, and let's face it, the Christian life, you have to do things that you don't necessarily want to do. You have to go against your flesh. You have to get up earlier in the morning to spend time with the Lord. Well, what does my flesh want to do? It wants to sleep.
Yeah, Paul made his body his prisoner. So he told his body what he was going to do instead of letting the body guide him. I just don't feel like it today.
Yeah.
Feel a little achy today. Discipline is a big part of the Christian life.
Right. You know. I remember the guy that was my discipleship leader, Everett Sheffy. I asked him one time, he would pray. Now, he was a talkative guy. So talkative people tend to be more long-winded in prayers because that's how they communicate. Mm-hmm. But his prayer life, he would pray for about 100 people every day.
That's cool.
And he would have names written. He would have photographs as he would pray for these people. That's a lot. It would take him about an hour every day. And I remember asking him, I said, Everett, what do you do when you don't feel like praying? Mm-hmm. And his answer was, I pray more.
Man, that's good.
But he was very disciplined. And he was like, I'm not going to let my flesh and my, you know, this laziness dictate to me what's going to happen. I'm going to tell my flesh, well, this is what we're doing.
But see, that had become a habit.
Right.
So he's not deciding that day. He's already decided that he's going to have a habit of prayer. He's going to be a man of prayer. And so that habit has already been formed. That discipline has already been planned out. So he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm. And he was a salesman. He was a very good salesman because he was disciplined.
Uh-huh.
And my principal, Mr. Brown, used to tell me this, and he would say it in a way that would make you stand up and take notice. If you ain't got discipline, you ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
Discipline is key.
But here's something with that discipline. Sometimes people fall off the horse and then they give up. They relapse and they give up. Uh-huh. You know, they fall back, they eat the Twinkie, and then they get off the diet. So just don't do it 2 days in a row. So if you fall off, get back on.
Right.
So you got to have, you know, grace for yourself. See, I'm not a disciplined person. I messed up, and then you're done.
Right.
Just don't do it 2 days in a row. Just get right back up.
Right.
And reasonable goals. You know, like we try and do devotions with our family, and
don't be legalistic.
Yeah, don't be legalistic, and just be realistic about it and what's going to work, what's going to be good for the long haul, what's a little bit of progress that you can make this year that's better than last year.
Well, I used to challenge people with this. I said, you know, I was challenged in college to make a vow, and making a vow to God is a big deal. Ecclesiastes said it's better to not vow than to vow and not pay. But 5 minutes a day in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I said as a 18-year-old, 19-year-old college student, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you not spend 5 minutes a day in the Word of God? So I made a vow before the Lord. And I've asked people, I said, listen, you know, that's a good goal, mm-hmm. because it might be, just being honest, it might be 5 minutes more a day than you're spending now.
Right.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. I personally like little texts, like a chapter or a little text. You know, like this year I've read through the Bible. It's 3 chapters a day. And a lot of times you read, you check the box because you did.
It's too much.
You did your reading, but it's like, I don't know what I just read.
Right.
But I checked the box because I did it.
Well, and especially in some of those Old Testament things, mm-hmm. you know, you read Ezekiel, it's like, good night, what is that? You know, Leviticus can be very, very difficult with all the intricacies of the laws and the sacrifices. Yeah, I'm one that I personally would rather read for depth than for mm-hmm. distance. Mm-hmm. I get a lot more out of it. And so, you know, and in the New Testament, if you read a chapter of one of the Gospels or, you know, in the letters, the epistles, it's a lot easier to comprehend that than some of the Old Testament passages.
Yeah, because your whole bottom line is growth. You want to grow. So it's not just like that you could say that you've done this and you know, pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, what's the goal?
Yeah.
It's not to say I read the Bible through. It's to say I understand more of the Bible. I've grown closer to God.
Yeah, it's James. It's being doers of the word, not just hearers of the word.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you listening to Real Truth for Today. Making godly decisions in the new year has been our theme. And the last thing that Chris had said when he taught this to our young husbands and dads is, then you go for it. Pray for guidance, get the facts, ask for advice, set your goals, and then go for it. Get out of the boat and do the things that God has called you to do. And listen, God will bless you for it. So I look forward to you having a happy new year. And thanks for listening today. God bless.